Turn to Psalm 17 today. Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Yep. Yes, ma'am. And I'm going to read the first five verses, but I'll be focusing in and trying to exegete the first three. Psalm 17 begins, a prayer of David. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me, and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Bible Baptist Church and the opportunity to come here and be fed from the Word of God, to be able to learn new truths and to grow and understand your will for our lives. Lord God, I just pray that I may contribute this day to that effort and that you'd fill me with your Spirit and help me to say that which is accurate and true. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. And so this is a prayer of David when he's in the wilderness, he's running from Saul. Saul wants to kill him, and basically David is the newly anointed king, and Saul wants to stop all these efforts, and so he's pursuing David. And David is being pressed on all sides in this psalm, and he sees no escape unless the Lord intervenes. And so David does what all Christians should do in this situation. He prays. And this psalm is clearly prophetic. It shows the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with God the Father during his earthly ministry. So this is, a lot of the claims that are being made here are very bold and very strong. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of this. David's claims of righteousness in this psalm can only be fulfilled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you turn over to 1 Peter real quick, just want to draw in on that. 1 Peter, I'm going to chapter 2. I want to read verse 21. 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." So we see in David here a certain degree of confidence and ability and righteousness that can only be seen by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Each one of us, through a lot of the strong words that David is saying here, we technically don't have the ability to do that. But because of our positional righteousness with the Lord, we're able to make some pretty bold claims. If you turn over to John 17, I want you to see this, John 17. John 17, looking at verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee." Those are strong words. He's telling the Father to glorify him. That's strong. And he's saying, glorify me, so I can glorify you. Verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Those are strong words. Those words could only really be said by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had no sin, who could go to the Father and say, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That's boldness. Verse 5 says, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's giving a command to the Father. He's saying, Father, fulfill your promise. In verse 8, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have not and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Once again, bold, strong, unwavering words. Father, this is the truth. This is what's happened. No question. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus Christ brought forth perfect, complete righteousness into the world. And in Christ we have it too. In Christ, we are righteous too. Verse 17 says, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so we can make bold claims as we're in the word of God, being sanctified into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be bold. We're not to be apologetic. All right, let's go back to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. So David knew his claims of righteousness could only be made because of his positional righteousness with Jehovah and his coming Messiah. David's words here in verse 1 are, Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. This is a bold position. David accesses this bold position because of his faith in the righteous one. David's relationship with the bloody sacrifice in the tabernacle enabled this faith. That's how David knew he was righteous before Jehovah. We who have faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, when going through the valley and chastening and trials like David in this psalm, we too can make bold, righteous claims and requests in prayer. Amen. This is an example of David in the middle of a great trial. What does he do? He bends the knee and he goes in prayer. Amen. And what does he do? He cries out in boldness. Do we do that? We have the same Savior as David. Because of David's repentance and faith in the coming Messiah, as represented by the substitutionary sacrifice in the tabernacle, righteousness was and has been imputed to David in our account. True worshipers in the Old Testament had imputed righteousness because of their faith in the final coming sacrifice, and that being Jesus Christ, the Messiah. If you turn back, look at Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, in verse 6, it says, And he, this being Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Because Abraham believed in the Lord, he was now positionally righteous with the Lord. Turn over to Galatians 3, and we'll grab another witness from there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted. That word there, accounted in the Hebrew, means imputed to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. David was of the same faith. He believed in the same Jehovah, the same coming Messiah, as Abraham. And to David, it was counted to him for righteousness. Turn over to James 2. James chapter 2, verse 23. 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." There's the imputed righteousness back in Psalm 17 that David had. With that imputed righteousness, David was able to say, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." These are bold, strong claims from a man of faith. He knew his positional righteousness with the Lord, and he, in the most troubling of times, bent the knee and went boldly to the throne of grace. So the Old Testament saints who put their hands on the bloody sacrifice in faith were right with God. The confident language in Psalm 17 points to a perfect final sacrifice, which we know we could find in several areas of Hebrews, but that would be Hebrews chapter 10. And I was going to read that reference and go through all first 10 verses of Hebrews to show that perfect high priest, the final sacrifice. But for the sake of time, I won't run long this time. I'm not going to do that. But trust in the truths of God's word from Hebrews, that what David was trusting in was manifested in chapter 10 of Hebrews. So, David had imputed righteousness made to his account, enabling him to make such bold claims in Psalm 17. And so our context here in Psalm 17 is David is the newly anointed king of Israel. He is being pursued by his enemies, and presumably, this would have been King Saul. So David is being surrounded by King Saul and his men. His heart is troubled. He's in distress. If you take a look at Psalm 17, looking at verse 9, it kind of gives us the context here of Saul surrounding David. "From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places." And so David is in the midst of a great trial. Saul's men are surrounding him. This is it. Looks like the end. They're closing in on David. And what does he do? He prays. Verse 1 again. "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." And what else does he say? "Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." And so because of David's faith, he's able to cry out for deliverance to the Lord from Saul. And so David, what happens? What happens because of his positional righteousness, knowing he's right with the Lord? Because he knows he's the anointed king. He knows the Lord's perfect will. What happens? Answered prayer. Yes, sir. answer prayer. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, our pastor has brought us here many times of late. 1 Samuel chapter 23. 23, beginning in verse 26, this is where Saul and his men are closing in on David. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. All is lost. All is lost. All is lost. But there came a messenger unto Saul. Amen. Oh, this is good. Saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. And so David, a man after God's own heart, righteous positionally with the Lord, goes boldly before him, bends a knee in the worst of trials, and sees answered prayer. But make some application there. David was purposed in his life to follow the Lord's will. No questions asked. No neverthelesses and no buts. David was not perfect, but because of his positional righteousness with the Lord and his desire to do the Lord's will, his prayer is heard. Look over at Acts 13. Acts 13. Acts 13 in verse 22. 13:22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. This is Saul. When he had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's who David was. That's who Saul was pursuing. I pity the fool who pursues after God's man. Guys can make a little application there. Who said that, right? Okay. Us older folks here will get that one. So David was God's chosen king, no longer Saul. David was righteous before the Lord and desired to do God's will. He desired to do God's will. Back in 1 Samuel, I'll go there quick, chapter 13. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, it says, But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him, a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. What happened to Saul? Saul got complacent. Saul no longer desired God's will. And so God is interested in men who are after his own heart. Broken men who want God's will in their life. Psalm 17:1, if we go back there, in 17:1, there's a word there I want to bring out. Psalm 17:1, it's the right. In the beginning here, it says, hear the right. This word right, and I tried to pronounce this this Hebrew word, tzedek. This word means moral or legal justice or the just one, the righteous one. Look at what David is saying here. Hear the righteous one, O Lord. How do you come before the Lord and say that? How do you say that? Well, he must have placed his faith in the righteous one. Because not of our righteousness. 17:1, David knew his righteousness before God. He knew his Redeemer and did not waver in his faith at the critical moment of the trial. God was the first thing that came to his mind, obviously. David did not fear and lean on his own understanding. And so David spoke bold, righteous words from a self-proclaimed position of righteousness. He believed the words of God. And so when we go boldly before the throne, before the Father, our high priest, Jesus Christ, speaks righteously for us. And I won't take you there for the sake of time, because I promised I wouldn't take up all your time, but we know Hebrews 4:16. We go boldly before the throne of grace. God commands us to. We can. We are positionally righteous with Him. We're not always perfect. You know, I defeat myself often with God. I think I'm not worthy. I really do. I know that we're to put ourselves at the foot of the cross and to be humble and to be meek. But the Lord has given us a position of righteousness that we will never, ever, ever lose. And even in the midst of our greatest sin, we can turn, reconcile, and go boldly. Because we're positionally righteous. Take advantage of that. And I find myself sometimes defeating myself in that, not feeling worthy because of my sin. So Psalm 17:1, it goes on and it has in there the phrase, not out of feigned lips. David says, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. And so, this word is the Hebrew word mirmah, and in the sense, it's a deceiving fraud that's coming out of the lips, craftiness and falsities, guile, subtlety and its treachery. David is saying here he has no lips of deceit. I am coming to you righteously. I speak the truth. This is what David is proclaiming boldly before the Lord. And you can do that too. John 1, if you turn over there to John 1. In John 1. John 1:47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. We know Nathanael, gift from God, right? Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And here the meaning is no deceit. He wasn't double-minded. He had a childlike behavior in faith. That's what this word means. And so David is telling the Lord here, no lips of guile, no deceit. I come to you fully in, as we heard this morning. All in, Lord. I'm all in, and I'm calling to you, to my account before you now, Lord, my positional righteousness. So hear me. He can pray just like our Lord Jesus Christ prayed through those examples I gave you in John. He's able to make that prayer. How do you do that? Because you have a righteous Savior. It's because of Him, and that's what this psalm points to. And so, David spoke bold. David said, I'm not out of feigned lips. And then in 17:2, it seems that David is, in a sense, growing bolder in his prayer. If you notice that, he's saying, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. This is bold. Prove me, O Lord. If there's something that I'm holding back, bring it forth. That's boldness. Have you ever noticed that when you pray, it's hard to go to prayer sometimes, isn't it? To get there and say, all right, I'm going to pray. But have you noticed you get bold in your prayer as you pray? Spending time with the Lord is good. And you become bold. And you're talking to a wonderful, gracious, merciful God who wants you to get bold and to have a relationship with Him. And I see that in David here. He's starting out proclaiming a righteous position, and then in his righteousness, he says, prove me. Go ahead, Lord. Do what you need to do, because I am all in. So as he continues, he gets more confident with the Lord. And when we pray, we're talking to a person, God the Father. He knows our heart, and we cannot hide from Him. David says, thy will be done, Lord. Let thy sentence come forth quickly. Quickly reveal your will. This is personal, Lord. And I'm coming before you. I'm in trouble, God. I'm in trouble. Your chosen king is in trouble. I know your perfect will. I'm all in. Let me see your perfect will. That's a bold prayer. When I was doing my devotion in Psalm 17, that's why I'm preaching it, this boldness was what I needed. It's what I needed. When we're in the trial, we don't feel worthy. We don't feel like we have the faith to move mountains. The Lord says, you're positionally righteous with me. Take hold of the power that you have within you and come before me boldly and ask. That is good. Psalm 17:2 has a phrase in it that goes on to say the things that are equal. This is the Hebrew word meshar, and it means straightness, in agreement or a right, things that are equal or equity. Basically, things that are righteous, upright. The way of the Lord is equal. David is saying that he has an equal footing, that he is performing and desires the way of the Lord, which is equal. You'll find a good reference for this from Ezekiel 18:25. I won't take you there, but it speaks of the ways of Israel there in its context in the millennial kingdom, in the tribulation, as being unequal. But the ways of the Lord is equal. And his hope there is they'll see that, and that eventually that remnant will worship the Lord Jesus Christ. However, David commends the Lord to behold his righteousness. He commands him. So Psalm 17:3 says, thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me, and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. We know the Lord Jesus Christ made similar claims. And so we see David here seizing upon the righteousness that he has by faith, just like Abraham, in making these very same bold claims. David has learned from his trials. And he says, Lord, I will not transgress. David is claiming his Redeemer's own righteousness. And it is only because the Lord is righteous he can make this claim. David has purposed in his heart to put on God's righteousness. And the Lord wants David, and he wants us to grow in our faith. And that is the purpose of the trials and the tribulations and all that we go through, such as David, to draw us near unto God and to bow the knee, to seize your positional righteousness, and to go boldly before the throne. It is the purpose. It is necessary for Saul's men to pursue David. Interesting. Job 23, if you turn there. Job 23 and verse 10. 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. David had been tried. David has now come forth as gold. David is a man after God's own heart. He has boldly gone before the throne of grace. That's who David is, because of the trial. Psalm 26, if you turn there, there's plenty of verses to confirm this great truth. Verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. From the teaching we've received here at Bible Baptist Church, and we've been challenged to do that many times, does it scare you to ask the Lord for that? It does me, because he's going to answer that prayer. You're going to be tried. But David said, try me, Lord. I want to see your sentence, because I purpose in my heart one thing, to do your will. That's good. Hard to come to this position. Psalm 66. We could go there. Psalm 66. Psalm 66 in verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. The purpose? So that we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ every time we're tried. David is in the midst of a great trial, and in the midst of his great trial, he did not lean unto his own understanding. He bowed the knee in prayer, and he became bolder and bolder as he prayed. He claimed his righteousness. Zechariah attests to the same in 13:9, and 1 Peter 1:7 is another good reference. And so we must come to the Lord in 100% truthfulness, self-aware, seeking reconciliation where needed, and proclaiming God's righteousness. It's what we must do. I don't want to be irreverent. This is our communication line to God. It's what he wants to hear. And when he hears it, he hears us. Turn over to, Jude chapter 1 and verse 24. 124 in Jude. 124. Jude 124 says, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. If you, in the middle of our great trials, first and foremost, understand, draw upon the fact that you're saved, that you're righteous, that you can't lose your salvation. As much in your sin as you are, don't lose sight of that. It's not an excuse, but what I'm telling you is that we get caught up in our sin or self-righteousness and we lose understanding that we are completely righteous before the Lord. And the only reason that we don't go boldly before him and ask is because we don't feel we are. We don't want to. Or we don't feel we are. Feel like we're inferior. Lord's not going to listen to me. But if you'll bow the knee and you'll repent and reconcile with the Lord because of the trial, obviously. You're now positionally once again, you're taking the position of righteousness that he wants you to take, which you always had. Amen. And you project yourself to the Lord boldly. Now, also keep in mind, Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's there, folks. Right. Literally. Right. He's in the throne room. He is there. He's speaking for you. He talks for us. What kind of words does he speak? Righteous words. We have everything going for us. And yet we fear and we cower. And I speak from my personal experience and not feel as if I have the faith to move mountains. And that's not so. And so I have decided, and I pray that everyone here at Bible Baptist Church will decide, just like David decided, go to the Lord righteously. Tell him you are the righteous one standing before him. Tell him, Lord, it's me, the one who trusted your Son as Savior. I'm saved. I want your will in my life. Prove me now. Prove me. Do it. I'm all in. If you do that, you could do it at any time, you will have an answered prayer, just like David. The messenger came, the Philistines are attacking, and they left. We've all seen this answer prayer in our life before. Right. And we so easily forget. Yeah. We so easily turn away. We, like the Israelites, show me another sign, Lord. Take your righteous position before the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Desire his will. Take your position before him. Go boldly, because the trials are coming. The trials are coming. And David was in the trial, but he was positionally right. He was ready. And he bent the knee. And he was delivered. Praise God for Psalm 17. May this, I pray, help you in your times of trial and difficulties. It certainly has helped me. Thank you for your time. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for David. We're thankful for our brother, who in the time of trial, of great need, understood clearly your direction for him. And he bent the knee, held firm upon his righteous position with you, and he asked for you to deliver him. No matter the outcome, deliver him. And Lord, you answered his prayer. We are so thankful for the many answered prayers that we see here at Bible Baptist Church. We are a church that has trusted in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to use this assembly to enable us to be able to carry forth your will in Cromwell and beyond. We're so thankful to see the answer to prayer, as we've prayed this so many times, even with our pastor who's gone over to the Philippines and has put forth the biblical precedent of teaching other men also, and then we receive commendation from them from afar. What a blessing. We here at Bible Baptist Church are blessed in so many ways because we seek and desire your will. May we continue to do so, and it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.